This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And before we get back to the questions and the emails, let's go ahead and check in with the communists, shall we, and see how they're handling everything. Here's John Oliver.
Ads on that one issue. And it was frustrating to see the Harris campaign fail to formulate a response, especially because it's pretty easy to do. Watch, I'll do it for you right now. As we've discussed before, there are vanishingly few trans girls competing in high schools anywhere. Even if there were more, trans kids, like all kids, vary in athletic ability, and there is no evidence they pose any threat to safety or fairness. It is very weird for you to be so focused on this subject. And finally, if you genuinely want to address the biggest concern for most girls who play high school sports, you'd be less worried about this and more about the creepy assistant volleyball coach who keeps liking their posts on f***ing Instagram.
I'm not sure if they're going to be able to let the tranny thing go. They need to. They know they need to. You're starting to hear it's starting to bubble up in certain Democrat circles. We got to let this go. We got to let this go. AOC even came out. She didn't say let it go. She would never say that. But she even said, I think we're maybe addressing it the wrong way. They know they hitched their wagon to the wrong group of freaks. They know it turns people off. It's gross. Everyone can see it's wrong. Parents with daughters really don't want to see their baby girl wrecked on the rugby field by Trina, the warrior princess. They understand. They get it. But some Democrats, again, because it's a religion for them. For this guy, it's just, hey, you just didn't explain it well enough. Some trannies aren't that athletic. It's amazing. Hey, Jay Steele, when you read books, do you finish? I need to say something real quick before I get back to this. I don't want to be look at me guy. Everyone knows that I don't want to draw attention to myself. But have you ever been really good at something and you wanted acknowledgement for it and no one ever acknowledged you for it? Have you ever gone through that in your life? Maybe you go through that right now. Maybe you have a particular skill or you've developed some expertise at something and you feel really good at it. And it would be nice if just one person in your life acknowledged it. You know what nobody has ever acknowledged about me? I was thinking about this today. I was on we took Fred for a walk today. And we were just walking around, just talking about things. I'm a great walker. A really great, what, Chris? Why are you making that face? No, I know everyone can walk, Chris. That's not what I'm saying. I know everyone can walk. See, this is the problem. This is what I mean about the lack of acknowledgement, Chris. You feel like you can walk like I can walk. You feel like because we're both walking that you're doing it as good as I can do it. But that would be like you grabbing a basketball and shooting hoops and me being LeBron James and saying, look, we both play hoops. That's what it's like you comparing yourself to me when I walk. You should see what an incredible walker I am. It's just very graceful and fluid, and my strides are perfect, and I have the perfect arm swing. Have you ever seen the people with kind of the awkward gait and it looks weird? But mine, it's almost like a ballerina in male form. What, Chris? Why are you making that face? It's like I float really above the water. And that's why I'll go on these long walks, even in the Marines. Maybe that's where I perfected my skills, which are obviously God-given. Lord, I want to make sure I'm giving you all the credit. They're clearly God-given, but skills I've honed over the years, these long rucks, you'd go on these long humps in the Marines, and I could just do it. I could just do it. I don't think I've ever had somebody in my life compliment me on how I walk. And it would be nice if one person noticed. It's almost magical, really, what I do. Stop rolling your eyes, Chris. It's impressive. Anyway, back to the, hey, Jay Steele, when you read books, do you finish one book before starting another? Or do you have a pile of books that you are reading all at once? Says her name's Amber. All right. So there's something that has happened to me, and I know that you will psychologize me for this before we get back to the politics and the other questions and things. There's something that has happened to me as I've gotten older, and I'm not exactly sure why. I try to be good about knowing myself. Like, I know I'm a great walker. I know that. I try to know myself. I'm not good at technology. When it comes to walking, I'm better than other people. I get it. I used to have a strict, strict thing about books. I would start a book, and I would either A, finish it before I ever got to another book, or B, I always gave books about 25%. I would read 25% of it. If you haven't hooked me by then, I will dump it. I used to force myself to read books I didn't want to read, and what would happen is, because of my rule about finishing the books, then I just wouldn't read anymore. So I wasn't excited about going back to finish the book. And I thought, this is stupid. You're not enjoying the friggin' book. 25%, read a quarter of the book. If it's not going to be for you, put it down. I realize not every book can be the Anti-Communist Manifesto, which is available at jessekellybook.com. I get all that. That's how I used to be. Start a book, finish a book, unless you're just going to drop it completely. This is probably over the last 4 or 5 years. I will have 3 or 4 books going on different subjects at any given moment. In fact, right now, just off the top of my head, I am reading, I'm some percentage through a book on mafia families in the United States of America. The book is actually called The Five Families by Salman Rabb. It's very good so far. I'm reading The Five Families. It's a mafia book. I am reading The End of Everything. It's a historical book by Victor Davis Hanson. Everything Victor Davis Hanson writes is amazing. I'm reading that. I'm reading Edson's Raiders. It's a book about Marine raiders in the Pacific in World War II. These are 1, 2, 3. There's a fourth I'm reading that I can't think of, but I am a percentage through 4 different books, and I'm totally okay with it. What, Chris? What? How do you keep them all separate in your head? Well, one, I'm extremely high IQ, which is what? No, I'm kidding, Chris. I'm kidding. Don't put your hand over in your face. Or listen, they're different subjects. So that helps a lot. It helps a lot that they are different subjects. If I'm in a mob mood, I'm going Five Families. If I want to nerd out on World War II, I'm going to go Edson's Raiders. If I want to do more ancient history, you know, the fall of Constantinople stuff, it'll be more Victor Davis Hanson. It makes compartmentalizing easy. I've become that guy who has a bunch of half-read books, and it's not that I'm not going to finish them, and I don't know what happened to me. Jesse, the way I see it, if illegals are worried about being deported, many will relocate to sanctuary states like Minnesota and Illinois, in which the governors vowed to protect them. What are the pros and cons of this huge relocation? Well, the Trump administration has indicated multiple times that there will not be an option for blue states to protect these people. The Trump administration has said, we are coming in to get them no matter what. They've already said they're going to be setting up deportation camps outside of blue areas like Denver and Los Angeles. The Trump administration has acted as if, I don't care what the governor says, you are not safe wherever you go. Tom Homan has said, we're coming into your sanctuary city and we're getting you. You cannot stay. Now, that aside, let's pretend like he didn't say that for a second. What would it mean? What would it mean for a country if illegals can simply vacate the red states and flood into the blue ones? Well, what that really would mean, it would mean a rapid acceleration of what's already happening in the blue states. And that can be a bad thing. And that acceleration is the blue states are becoming so expensive you can't live there and so crime-ridden you don't want to live there. That has the effect of running people out of the state. Now, up to a point, that can be good because who are the people who leave? In general, it's the Republicans who've had enough of it. Hey, I don't want my kid learning that in school, so I'm going to move to Florida. You know, that kind of thing people have been doing a lot over the past few years. In general, that can work to our benefit. But if it gets too uninhabitable in places like California, who's about to slap a big fat new gas tax on people, then what happens is the communists leave too. And they go infect your red area like a cancer and they destroy it. The cons would be it would eventually run the communists out and into our backyard, which is obviously not what we want. All right, someone wants to talk about Corinne Diversity Hire, the military-industrial complex. Is there a danger for weapons development? Someone wants to talk about his witch mother-in-law. All that and more coming up. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, reminding you you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, and always remember...
I love you back.
What, Chris? What? I forgot about this
one. Why are you so old?
I forgot you guys put that one in there for me. It makes me laugh every single time. Let's do another voicemail, shall
we? Yeah, Jesse. I got an idea that might help bring this country together a little bit for the 250th birthday party on the 4th of July. Let's have a Indy race all the way from New Jersey to San Francisco on I-80. Shut it down for a day and let them rip.
That's a freaking fantastic idea. Could you even imagine? I want a race. I should be put... What are you making that face for, Chris? What? What do you mean I'm not meant for endurance racing? I'm an amazing driver. No, I'm not too tall. You can have those cars custom built. They can make me one that's extra long or something like that. No, I could do it. I'm telling you, I could have been an IndyCar star. Although I think those people are small a lot of times, aren't they, Chris? No, I mean, like, light, too. They're never mind. Whatever, I shouldn't have asked you. Hey, Oracle with the tiny crystal ball for tiny hands. I think it's hilarious how fast the Kamala Carney circus packed up and left, all but KJP hanging back to take the final questions. Who would you like to see in this position? The press secretary position? Look, I'll tell you who I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Caroline Leavitt. That's what I think. Caroline Leavitt, she is the blonde. You've seen her on a bunch of TV shows. Very, very sharp young lady. I actually met her at a political event one time. Very sharp young lady. Been all over the TV doing the pro-Trump stuff for quite a while. She was with him back in the primary. Very smart, very talented. Trump, I think he's going to pick a dime with some sass. That's who Trump likes. A dime with some sass. Think of a Kayla McEnany. That's that kind of type. That's who it's going to be. Oh, let's do another.
Yo, Papa Cream, the more I think about the Matt Gaetz pick, the more I think it's brilliant. It's a win-win-win. You see, first of all, he resigns from the House, which gives DeSantis plenty of time to appoint a new rock-solid conservative in about 8 weeks or so. Second, he's the ultimate red herring. He's providing cover for all of the other appointees. Third, he has a chance to be nominated to be the senator of Florida if he doesn't get nominated, or if he gets his recess appointment, which Trump brilliantly had soon agreed to before he suggested Matt Gaetz, then he could wreak havoc. He could be a wrecking ball in the DOJ as attorney general. When his time is up, he could be the front runner for running for governor of Florida because DeSantis gets termed out in 2 years. What do you think about that, buddy?
Yeah, look, it was a lot to take in. I'll be honest with you. It was a lot to take in. I'm still digesting a lot of what you said. But yeah, that sounds good. Dear Many Guns Monkey Hunter, Eisenhower said to beware of the military-industrial complex, and I'm sure Trump will put them on a leash. But if we cut them back too much, do we risk falling behind in weapons development? We can't afford to let China get ahead of us. Well, see, this is a very real and a very understandable concern. But it's also the thing that has held us back from making real significant changes. They lost $4 trillion at the Pentagon. Trillion, with a T. They audited it, and the Pentagon didn't know where it went. We do have to stay on the cutting edge technologically. And God forgive me for saying this, but things like the Navy and the Air Force, they do have to be cutting edge at all times, because you can't just have a war break out and then run to the lab real quick and figure out an advanced fighter jet and then test it and get it into production. It doesn't work that way. It takes too long. For individual troops, like a grunt like me, you can do that. You can grab some civilian who's willing to go, throw him in boot camp for a few months, train him up, and you've got yourself a functional soldier who will get better as he goes on. So you don't have that long of a lag time. You can't just crap out a battleship. That's not how that works. You can't just wish the brand new fighter jet in there. So I've never said we need to do something crazy like defund the military or any of this other crap. We just have loads and loads of waste and corruption there. And then we get these weapon systems where they go from concept to testing, maybe production, but they never work out. And you take a step back and you look at the billions and billions and billions of dollars our weapons procurement and weapons development is way behind, because it's corrupt. It's not just the generals and admirals in D.C. that are corrupt. It's the whole cabal. The politicians, the generals and admirals, the Pentagon, the defense contractors, it's all one big rotted system where they just bloodsuck our money out of us and enjoy a life of luxury for us. Yes, I agree with your concerns. We can't just wash our hands of it and say, well, we're good to go. No. Navy in this country with two oceans like this has to be cutting edge at all times. Air Force has to be cutting edge at all times. Army, Marines should be much, much, much smaller. Should be NCOs, way, way less officers than we have now. And I mean way less officers than we have now. It's way too big. It was never, ever, ever supposed to be this. And it was never supposed to gobble up a third of the country's budget every year. That's insane. Bonkers. It should never be that. All right. We have a lot more. What do you do about Thanksgiving with the commie? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And before we get on to the Thanksgiving with the commie thing, we got a couple emails from parents of women who were in the Navy based on my rant yesterday. Some lady was screaming at me, you suck and whatnot. My daughter's she's awesome. She's the best. Well, you're listening with your heart and not your ears, woman. It's not my problem. It's your problem. I didn't say anything bad against your daughter. I said women should not be on naval vessels, and they shouldn't be. It's ridiculous. Whoever thought stuffing 19-year-old men and women onto a steel tube and sending them out to the ocean, whoever thought of that should be tried and sent to prison. It's such a freaking ridiculous idea. And then when you, this is the problem, in order to get things fixed and reformed, you have to step on toes and you have to offend people. So I said that about women in combat units and women on naval vessels. And that mother, understandably, because it's her daughter, she just got all kinds of offended and thought I was insulting her daughter. And I didn't say that at all. Not at all what I said. Men and women should not be working together in military units that are combat units or deployed naval units. Ah, you insulted my baby. No, you have a hearing problem. That's your problem, not my problem. Get offended all you want. I don't give a crap. They shouldn't be there. And anybody with an ounce of integrity would tell you that to your face if you actually pulled them aside and had an honest conversation with them. I could tell you stories that would make you weep about the integration of men with women into these units. You would be mortified at the things I have seen. You would be mortified at the things I know. And the reason I'm not divulging this information is almost all of it is unfit for the ears of the children who are listening. And it's not because the men are bad, and it's not because the women are bad. It's because the men are men and the women are women. And I'll tell you what, I'll put it to you this way. There is a media organization out there that I will not name. Don't worry, it's not mine. And this media organization that's out there that I won't name, it is famously, PG-13 to rated R, if you will, as far as work environment goes. Why? This media organization, when it got going, decided it was going to hire the most beautiful women humanly possible, and it was going to hire the handsomest men humanly possible, and then it was going to stuff them all in a building for 80 hours a week. And they travel, too. Oh, we've got to go cover the Olympics in Paris for 2 weeks. Hey, Tina, Tiffany, Jennifer, hop on a plane with Bob and Mike and Brad, and you guys all take off to Paris. We've got you in a 5-star hotel for 2 weeks. Now, what's going to happen? Grow up. I don't want to hear about your emails about how about my daughter. I don't give a crap. I'm trying to save a country. I don't care about your offense at all. You stuff men and women into a tube like that, the women come back with sea bags full of money. Did you know that? You know what a sea bag is? That big green bag you see soldiers carry in the movies where you stuff all your belongings? Sea bags full of 20s. That's what happens. Oh, but my baby. Oh, stuff it. I don't care about your baby. I'm talking about the country. Dear Sombrero, Dr. Sombrero, we were invited back to my brother's house for Thanksgiving this year. The last time we were there was 2021, and we were asked to leave because his commie mother-in-law, quote, didn't feel safe with us there after I told her she'd have to kill me before I let her jab a vax into my son's arm. I love this guy. That was the third argument I'd been in that night after arguing about Trump and gun rights. I swore to my boys that I wouldn't hide from my values anymore, so I let it rip. My wife, this is so what my wife would do. My wife is asking me to be the bigger man this year and not get in a fight over the election, even though I never take the first shot. My instincts are to see how fast I can get kicked out so I can go to the In-N-Out Burger a mile away. Should I take her advice and just swallow all their garbage all night? But this is, look, this is a very common conversation and a common problem. Most of the time it actually goes this way, where the woman is more interested in keeping the peace and the dude wants to let loose. And so she tells her, please don't embarrass me. Try to calm down. But not all the time, especially with the women who listen to this show. Sometimes the shoe's on the other foot. The women are ready to fire up and unload. And the dude is all, please, honey, not right now, not right now. So whatever, whether it's man or woman in your situation, I will simply tell you how I handle this. Obviously, family is family. And I want a peaceful dinner, too. And I personally, I don't really have to go through this at all with my family, both my close family and extended. With my close family, I don't really have to go through it because none of them are commies. None of them. Sister, parents, sons, wife, they're all hardcore like me. So I don't have to worry about that. With super extended family, it's not quite that simple. There are the political views cross the spectrum, but there's still never really a problem. Why? Because culture is going to be established when I walk in the door. And I'm not going to walk in to start fights. And I'm not going to walk in to start politics. And we can avoid that all you want. But if you want to open up that game, if you want to take the dogs off the leash and you want to start politics, don't you dare think that you are going to be the one in control of the conversation because I'm too polite to go there. You want to go there? Oh, we can go there in a hurry. And that is known now in my friend circle, neighbors. Every now and then a neighbor will stroll in. And I've had to lay down that marker a couple times too, and it doesn't happen anymore. You want to stroll in so we can play some horseshoes, games with the kids, barbecue, enjoy ourselves, talk about life and football and jobs and stuff like that? Fine. You think you're going to stroll in and start running your fat commie mouth and I'm just going to sit there and be quiet about it? No, I am not. We are going to talk it out, and if it gets loud, then it gets loud. You don't get to control me because you have no sense of decorum and you think I do. Now, you mentioned it's your brother. I hope you're close with your brother. I'm glad you're going to see your brother. I know you want to be respectful of your wife and your brother, and I respect that. But we have got to change this thing where we feel like it's our job to maintain decorum. It's our job to be polite and let the commies run wild. Because the net effect of that, the effect of us having done that for so many years, is they are way more bold than they should be about their demonic impulses. Your liberal Aunt Peggy should be ashamed and embarrassed about the disgusting things she believes. She should feel like a moron for all the lies she believes because she watches MSNBC every single night. And if you're not there to let her know she's a moron, then who will help her out? So when your mother-in-law walks in and says Pete Hegseth is a white supremacist.
The Secretary of Defense nominee, Peter Hegseth, the Fox News commentator as well, because weekend this host. Is someone who, weekend host, important distinction. This is someone who, is known to be a white supremacist, known to be an extremist, whose platform.
None of those things are true, and if your liberal Aunt Peggy repeats those things, you should put her in her place immediately and correct her. And if she wants to lose her mind because she left her Xanax at home, let her lose her mind and get back in her Subaru and drive away so the rest of you can have a peaceful Thanksgiving. No peace with the communists. Absolutely not. Nope. You do not get to dominate the conversation when I'm in the room. Absolutely not. Nope. The good people have been quiet for way too long. It's time for the good people to speak up. Speak up about that. Speak up about your dog and the fact that your dog doesn't get the nutrition he needs from dog food. You need to also tell everyone at Thanksgiving that. You're sitting around and you're eating all this different nutrition because of the different foods that are there. Hopefully you're not eating any gross turkey, but you're eating delicious foods. So you're sitting there, you're getting probiotics and vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and things like that. And then you pour a bowl of brown dog food for your dog and you wonder why Muffy's coat is getting dull and he's too lethargic and he throws up after every meal. Your dog's never getting nutrition. So start giving your dog a nutritional supplement. Sprinkle Rough Greens on his food. You don't even have to change his food. Keep giving him that garbage food. Just sprinkle the Rough Greens on it. Then he gets nutrition. You will see differences in your dog. The stuff is miraculous. They have it for cats, too, because for some reason they like cats. They have chew toys for your dog with nutrition, too. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's knock out a couple more voicemails real quick.
Hey, Jesse, this is Mark from North Carolina. I'm just wondering, is North Carolina just goober stupid? Every time we vote for Trump, we get a Democratic governor. It's mind-boggling, Jesse. Can you explain that to me?
Okay. All right. Let me explain, because I've had a couple of these emails from frustrated people in North Carolina. That's one of my favorite states, as I've told you before. I love North Carolina. I could see me and Odd living there. That's how much I love that place. North Carolina is thought of as red, but it's not really that red. It's very, very purple. And every race tells its own tale. So hear me out. To have somebody go in and vote for Donald Trump and then the Democrat in North Carolina, for someone like you who votes on important things and issues, it sounds crazy. However, as we've talked about before, people vote for wild, weird reasons. Maybe someone voted for Trump, but wanted to balance things out. I've actually heard that argument before from people. Well, I voted Republican, but I wanted there to be a balance, so then I voted Democrat for my governor. You hear a lot of that. People vote based on personality. People vote, we dismiss this a lot, based on the quality of the candidate themselves. This is a big, big deal. There will be races in the House and the Senate, and honestly, and the presidency. There will be races where we win, and we look around and think, wait a minute, what? We shouldn't have won that House seat in that area. How did we win? And if you dig into it and talk to the locals, because the locals always know, they'll tell you, hey, this Republican, they won in this Democrat district because they were awesome. They worked really hard, super charismatic. They ran a smart campaign. Or, you know, hey, this Republican, he lost to this Democrat in this district. What happened? Well, the Republican kind of sucked. He was an idiot. He didn't wash his hands after he peed. The Democrat seemed really like a fairly moderate guy. So that every race tells its own tale. Every race tells its own tale. Now, I hear your frustration because it does seem to be a problem in places like Kentucky and North Carolina where they split ticketed a lot. Trump, Dem, Trump, Dem, Trump, Dem. There is something about Trump that is different. Trump's coalition is not identical to the traditional Republican coalition for various reasons. Now, this is for better and for worse. It's for better right now. We're all basking in the glow of his election win. It's for better and for worse. For better is we're bringing in more working people because Donald Trump's not afraid to talk to working people. He's not ashamed of working people. He doesn't hate his base like the traditional GOP does. And so that brings in those working people. He will lose parts of his coalition as well because of his mannerisms or his take on this or his take on that. But the Trump coalition is bigger as of right now than the Republican coalition is. So if you're looking at your state, if you're Arizona, you know, if you're North Carolina and you're looking around wondering how could so many people split a ticket, that explains a lot of it too. Dear Sage of the Airwaves, I respect your opinion. How does one stop the funding of the communist street protests? His name is Derek. Well, you have to seek out and find criminality. Well, I take that back because you don't want to do that kind of lawfare. What happens is these criminal networks operate behind a wall, as I've explained before, about this nonprofit. This nonprofit collects a bunch of money. Then they give to this nonprofit, and then they give to that nonprofit. But that also, part of that web oftentimes is government, NGOs. You've heard of these NGOs? The NGOs, they have facilitated a lot of the illegal immigration invasion into the country, and they do so at the behest of the federal government. So the federal government finds this evil NGO, we'll call it Operation Chris, and they say, hey, Operation Chris, here's $50 million. We need you to go find a bunch of rapists in Ecuador and get them into the United States of America. And Chris, loving money like he does, says, yeah, we can handle that for you. So now the government has just paid you to do the illegal action you think they should be prosecuted for. It gets convoluted. It does.
Dr. Bandito, happy Friday. Two quick questions and statements for you. First, when I say frozen margarita compadre, I like to say that we are in good company, me, you, and Jimmy Buffett. What is your favorite frozen margarita flavor? Second, since you are the aficionado of the next level extreme sports with your jet ski torpedo games and your hamster fighting on steroids, which I will call the ultimate fighting jack hamsters, what would be your trifecta of your third crazy extreme port? Have a good weekend. Bye.
All right. My third extreme port is not going to be popular at all. In fact, probably going to get us in some trouble. So I'll get to that in just a moment. As far as the margaritas go, first of all, I don't like frozen margaritas. I like half frozen margaritas. You get them half frozen, then you don't have to deal with the ice cubes, yet you know you're not getting cheated on the anything. So it's half. I actually haven't had one of those in ages. It's half frozen margaritas. I haven't ordered one since that time I was in Papacito's with Ob, and I got a watermelon one because I thought it looked like it would taste really good, and they brought me the fruitiest, gayest-looking drink you've ever seen in your life, and then she pulled out her phone, and she started taking pictures of me every time I drank it, and she was texting everybody, oh, my gosh, look at Jesse. She really, in general, wasn't very nice about it at all. She really was not nice about it at all. As far as the next extreme sport goes, I have always thought it would be helpful to recruits, to military recruits, to kill somebody. I've always thought it would be helpful to have them do it. We have a nation with a bunch of pedophiles in prison who have assaulted kids. Why not a final televised exercise? What, Chris? We'll be fine. Where We televise it, obviously, for the good of the nation. And the new recruits, to get, you know, get their blood up, they get to hunt down a pedophile before they graduate. Chris, this is, what are you worried about? This is fine. I'm just talking about pay-per-view. We're going to make money, Chris. Don't worry. Anyway, that's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.